This is your daily dose of radio popcorn. Warren and Elle on Canada Talks.
And we are back, and of course, the studio is buzzing. We just had Praz Michelle from the Fugees, who has a doc at Hot Dogs, Sweet Mickey for President. Make sure you check it out. And because it is Hot Dogs time, we are continuing to bring you all the best in documentary filmmaking. And joining us now, from a documentary, I would say is a little bit deceptive. And I say that because when I first saw it, I thought, oh, this is going to be very cute. This seems like it's a very, oh, what a nice, it's going to be a nice family story. And it is. But it is also very thought-provoking and very interesting. So joining us now from the movie All the Time in the World, please welcome Suzanne and Kate Crocker.
Yep. Thanks. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Welcome to the show. Now, first, just for listeners who aren't familiar with the documentary, tell us a little bit about what it's about.
So for our family, we were finding life was getting too hectic with schedules and work and projects, and we decided to go cold turkey, abstinence, and find a way where we couldn't even be tempted to use that stuff. And so we decided to take our family, which was three kids, two cats and a dog, and go live in the middle of the Yukon wilderness for 9 months with no road access, no electricity, no running water, and no clocks or watches.
Wow.
Yeah.
Total frontiering it.
That's it.
Yeah.
It was interesting because, you know, when the documentary first started, I had conflicting thoughts because at first I was like, these people are crazy. I'm very urban. I like 24-hour grocery stores. I like coffee across the street. And I was like, no, this is madness. But I also kind of felt like, well, it would be nice. And then, of course, watching your whole experience, sometimes it's like, okay, it's madness, punctuated with moments of like, that seems great. For the kids, Kate, how did you guys, when you first heard, like, we're going to go live in the middle of nowhere for 9 months, were you excited? Were you like, this is a bad idea? What did you think?
I think we didn't really know what we were getting into. I think we were mostly like, oh, cool, this is going to be an experience that most of my friends haven't done, and I get to do it. But coming from Dawson City, which is a small town in the Yukon, it wasn't like the weirdest thing in the world to go out and live in the bush. So it wasn't crazy weird, but...
You already didn't have a Starbucks on every corner.
Yeah. And so it was pretty much a cool, this is going to be fun, but we didn't really know what we were getting into at the time.
Was the cabin already there?
Yeah, the cabin was already there.
Okay, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure if I missed something.
You missed the whole scene of us building the cabin from
yeah,
scratch.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that part would have come up.
With just a nail file.
Yeah.
Where did you find the cabin?
There are cabins around in the Yukon. I mean, in the Yukon, as Kate says, it's not totally out of the ordinary to live in the bush. Not that everybody does it, but
I mean, did you
familiar.
Rent it or do you guys, like, what happened?
We found it. We found out who owned it, and we convinced them to let us use it, basically.
Wow. And so in the cabin, there's no running water, right? And I mean, all the heat is
wood
burning, right? Everything. What, obviously, it's a huge adjustment, but how long did it take you to kind of start getting used to that?
I think the first month or so was really hectic because it was all hauling gear in. It was building a cache to store our food from bears. I mean, it was pretty crazy. And I think it wasn't really until the river started to freeze, which really cut us off from being able to make any more trips back to town, that we really started to get into it. And that's not uncommon, that period of freeze up that can take anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. And anybody who lives in the Yukon on the other side of a river with no bridge, which there are none, basically has that sense during freeze up that, okay, you're there, time to just live with what you have and get down to basics.
Well, and the reason I say it's kind of deceptive is because, I mean, it is a story about your family and unplugging and getting away, but it did, first of all, I was shockingly emotional throughout this documentary. There was so many things that I think come up where you go, you had the opportunity to do things that I think a lot of people don't have. Like, for instance, I'm a huge reader and, you know, books are my favorite thing. And sort of watching you guys talk about the books and reading out loud and, you know, getting stuck in Watership Down where you're like, it's too exciting. We have to just, and I was thinking like people today are binge watching, you know, Netflix, but you guys were like binge reading books. And I loved that so much.
Yeah, totally. We must have read at least 50 novels out loud. Wow. I mean, the entire Anne of Green Gables series, the entire Little House on the Prairie series, and heavier stuff too. You know, we read Charles Dickens, we read To Kill a Mockingbird. And it was really amazing though as a family to read out loud, and we would all really get into the characters and get into the story.
Kate, how old are you now?
I'm 12.
12. Okay, so besides reading, what does a 10 to 12 year old do for fun during this time?
Get married.
Well, at the time in the bush, I was 8.
Right.
And I think me and Tess, mostly it was all imaginary games and imaginary friends. And also just making things with your hands, like hands-on things, and creating little board games or puzzles. And if you think about it, and like anything you really wanted to do that was physically possible, you could do it. So there was never any time that you thought, well, I don't know what to do now, or I'm bored, because the only thing that was limiting you was thinking of something to do. And me nor Tess have ever, or Sam even, we've never had that trouble of thinking of something to do, because I guess we have each other, and then one person comes up with an idea, and the rest of us are kind of like, okay, let's do that. And then that's like the next few days' project.
That was another one of those things, you know, Suzanne, you talked about how being so used to being like, not now, we don't have time for that, and then realizing when you were out there you did have time. And I just loved how as a family, and I made the joke about getting married because there was the magic mailbox, is that what it was called? That, and I thought was such a sweet idea where you could write to anybody you wanted and they would write back. And that's why, and Kate, you wrote to Percy Jackson. And also, by the way, I love the line being married in games and imagination, because I don't actually really particularly want to get married, but I love the idea of being married in games and imagination. And so that might be my new thing. But just and then making the wedding and being open to just doing all this fun stuff.
I think that was one of the things that surprised me as an adult, that Gerard, my husband, and I, we really became creative people again, and we were able to use our imagination and play with the kids. And so much humor returned to us as adults as well. So we were silly, we were creative, we were playful. And I think in our normal life, those things kind of get pushed to the bottom in our personalities, probably because we're always sleep deprived and have a million things going on and are stressed. But there, it just opened up so many other possibilities. It was really fun.
There is a thing that David Suzuki says about the film, and we are talking about the documentary All the Time in the World. You can check that out at allthetimeintheworld.ca. He talks about, why am I always in such a hurry? You know, and that's something that every once in a while hits me. You know, at the end of the day when I'm exhausted or something, I sometimes look back on the day and I go, I feel like I never slow down. I'm always in a hurry. And then at the end of the week I go, what? What was I in such a rush for? What did I get so stressed out for? What was it that was driving me crazy? And sometimes I don't even remember. I don't even remember all these things that I packed into my day that were so important that now they're so not important, I barely remember them. you know? And I guess it comes into perspective. You realize, you really realize the value of time.
Exactly. I mean, that was one of the great learning outcomes, I guess, of this experience, was just having that feeling of time again. And it is, I think it's a real irony in our lives that we have all these time-saving conveniences and all striving to give us spare time or free time. And yet the more we add them to our life, the less free time we seem to have. And now it's super crazy. Now, you know, you don't leave work at work. Work follows you everywhere, and all these distractions follow you everywhere 24/7, and there's hardly any space to breathe or be in solitude anymore. And that's too bad, because I think having a moment of solitude is just really grounding, especially when you're out in nature. And all the pieces of the puzzle that sometimes feel jumbled up and you can't make sense of your world anymore, they all kind of fall into place when you just have a few moments of solitude outdoors.
Did this change you guys as a family? Are you stronger, do you think?
Yeah, I think we're definitely more close. And I think really we have that memory of the bush to go back to if we are kind of creeping away from each other or doing our own thing and being busy. And I think, now we have the memory and also this film, and it keeps on reminding us, let's spend more time together.
Did you plan to make the documentary when you did this?
Not originally. We did this experience because we needed to do this experience as a family. And we had, you know, Gerard and I had tried kind of the usual ways you try to get balance back in your life and put aside those distractions, and we weren't very good at it. Yeah. Our minds were always elsewhere, which was why we felt we just had to do this sort of cold turkey kind of more drastic move. So that was the reason for doing the experience. And the idea to film it actually came maybe only 4 to 6 weeks before we left. And it was just from all the curiosity from friends and family down south about the whole concept of living in the bush, which, as I think I mentioned, up north isn't that foreign of a concept. Mm-hmm. But there was so much curiosity about it that I thought I should really document this. And because I'd been making short films, it seemed pretty natural to document it with a camera. So camera came along.
We are speaking to filmmaker and star, respectively, Suzanne and Kate Crocker, about All the Time in the World. And again, you can see that at allthetimeintheworld.ca. Again, how long were you out there? How long did you live in the bush?
So we were there for 9 months. We went into the bush the end of August in 2010 and came out early June 2011.
Now, I know people ask you this, but there's got to be something, there's got to be things that you missed back home. What's the thing you missed the most while you were out there?
The only thing I thought about now and again, which you all will laugh about, was the concept of a hot bath or a hot shower. That was 9 months of sponge bathing and dumping a pot of water over your head.
Listen, I so get it, you know? And there was moments where I'm like, I like the idea of being in, you know, the clothes that you guys had to let go at the end that were just destroyed. And there is this little part of me that is still a nature person in some way that goes, I see the appeal of that. But then I think of things like not being able to have a shower and I go, oh, so hard.
What about you, Kate?
The only thing I really missed, I think, was food. Like Sam said, like, we had a lot of food. We brought in a lot of food. It was okay for the first few months, but it was the same food over and over again.
What did you eat?
Well, we had a lot, at first when we went there was a lot of stuff that we ate, like a lot of variety. But near the end, it was pretty much just rice and beans and more beans. And more beans. And actually, it's funny because when we got back to Dawson, it was the first thing that we did when we got off the river was we went to the greasiest restaurant we could find and ordered the greasiest food there was there. And, yeah, and that was, I think that was the best cheeseburger I've ever had in my life.
Did you, were you worried? Because you did bring your two cats and your dog. And I was a tiny bit stressed out about the cats. Because dogs, you know, generally come when you call them and whatever. Were you a little bit worried about taking your cats and letting them roam around in the wilderness?
Yes. It's not that usual to take your cats into the bush.
No.
But what was remarkable was that they adapted so easily and they lived this wonderful stress-free 9 months. And there's sort of an interesting parallel that's a bit sad. But when we returned to civilization, we lost both Max the dog and James the wonderful orange cat prematurely to city life. And they had no trouble in the bush, which I think speaks to the fact that people think, oh, living in the bush, that's so risky and dangerous. But I think, honestly, there's way more risks to living in the city than living in the bush. And in the bush was where everybody, including the cats and the dog, felt the most at ease and the freest.
It was so great to watch them.
They play a major role, surprisingly, in the film.
And one of my favorite moments was when you were documenting the sleeping and the kind of big family bed. And was it you, Kate, the littlest, Tess? Is trying to get the cats on a blanket, and she's trying to get the blanket over and half asleep, pulling the and the cat's just rolling off it. And it was this beautiful little, you know, family moment of everyone sleeping in their little, and the cat and the dog, the cats and the dog.
I could do this. I could do this. I could go out.
No, you could not.
I'm going to need a bathtub, right? And I'll put kindling under it and then kind of.
Yeah, that's safe.
Kind of let the water boil. And then once it cools down, then I'll get in.
This is a man who uses 3 products on his hair every day.
Yeah.
How many hair products did you bring to the bush?
Hold on. I'm going to need a bathtub, but that's it. Okay, and a television. I'll need a TV there, right? With like a satellite hookup or something. SiriusXM. I'll need a SiriusXM so I can keep up to date with what you're doing over here.
You can't do it.
Right.
Let me ask
liquor
you.
Liquor cabinet. I'm going to need a liquor cabinet as well.
Okay, well, that's
yeah,
not
you're
a
toast.
Yeah. So, but other than that, I can totally do this.
Yes.
I'm totally going to do. I just need a TV. Oh,
I would
internet.
Actually.
I need the internet. I'll need the internet.
I would actually be better at this than you would.
Well, that's because you're used to hiding from people.
It's true. I do. I do tend to hibernate a little bit. What is one way that your life has changed after doing this and stayed changed? And what's one thing that you kind of went back to that you kind of were like, we should work on that?
Some things that have stayed different is that none of us own a cell phone.
Good on you.
That's a huge accomplishment.
I think we're some of the rare people. I have found others. but you know, that's really a conscious decision, because just knowing how distracted we were before we went in the bush, even without cell phones, I know that having a cell phone on my hip as a mini computer always connecting me and distracting me would just put me way over the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So not having a cell phone helps me live in the moment. And similarly, I don't wear a watch because I was so triggered by whatever the clock said before the bush. And now I don't want to go back there. So it's easier for me to be in the moment if I don't have something on my wrist that says, oh, it's X o'clock, you got to do this now.
Right.
So those are some things that we've held on to from the bush. You know, life exists the way it exists. It does get a bit crazy. And there is this irony of making a film, you know, editing 500 hours of footage has you a lot of time on a computer. Promoting and distributing a film has you a lot of time on the computer. And my family constantly reminds me about the irony of that.
Yeah.
So there is an ongoing struggle, I would say, to try and find balance. But it's easier to get there now than it was before.
If you continue to not wear a watch and you don't have a phone that you check for the time, like how do you show up on time places? Because I'm late all the time and I have clocks all around me. Like how does that affect your life with the rest of the world's kind of, if you're like, I will not be bound by time, but we're like, be here at 3.
I'm still on time. I mean, there are clocks in the world that I can access. So, you know, and so I still have to time manage and figure out when I have to leave to be somewhere on time. It's just more from moment to moment.
Yeah. You know, not putting the focus on
exactly.
That.
So if I'm doing something with the kids, I'm doing something with the kids. If I'm outside going for a hike, I'm outside going for a hike, and I'm not constantly checking.
Kate, is there anything you miss about the bush?
Well, I miss a lot of things, like being able to do whatever you want, whenever you want. And, but again, like, we don't live in the city. Dawson is very small and pretty much as close to living as in the bush as you can get, still living in civilization. So, like, we...
I don't know if you're happy about that or not, the way you say that.
I am. but we still live with, like, wilderness all around us. Mm-hmm. So we have the ability to do that. It's not way out there. It's just we sometimes don't have the time to do that. And there's so many extracurricular stuff that we're doing and school taking up all day. And but, yeah, it's hard. But again, we're not in the worst scenario.
Sure.
I think when you live down south and you want to get away from it all, you move to Dawson City.
Right.
And when you're in Dawson City and you have to escape your own faults and get away from it all and get grounded again, then you go to the bush.
Fair enough. Do you still read together?
Yes.
That's great. You were 8, Kate, when you guys went out there. Now you're 12. If you hadn't gone when you were 8 and your mom and dad came to you now and were like, we're going to take 9 months and go just be alone, a family in the woods. Do you think at 12 you would be as into it as you were when you were 8?
Yeah, I definitely would want to. I just don't think it would be realistic right now just because there's so many more extracurricular stuff that we're doing now, especially me and Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And the schooling, like, I think the schooling, as in homeschooling, would take up more of the day, and then you'd feel less free, because then you could, anything that we did really in the bush was exactly what you would be doing in a textbook. Like, mm-hmm. with fractions, we'd just go bake something. But now...
You guys did seem to do a lot of baking.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, when I was 8, everything that we did could easily toy into school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now we'd have to spend more time actually heads down working instead of just being able to do anything and that working as you're schooling.
Yeah.
We are talking about the film All the Time in the World, which is part of Hot Docs. It's won numerous awards already. Please check it out at allthetimeintheworld.ca.
And it's a thinker. You guys, you know, you do a lot of things that then later linger in the mind and go, yeah, what would that be like? Or how would my life be different if I did something like that?
Thanks a lot for being here today.
Yeah, thank you. It's a real pleasure.
You're great. Best of luck with the doc. So
thank you.
That is Suzanne and Kate Crocker. All right.
And we got to take a break, but we will be back right after this on Warden Now.
We're staying on the grid. We're just taking a break.
Yeah, we're just taking a break. We're not.
Yeah.
We're staying firmly plugged in. I have to check my phone.
Yeah.
So I went that whole interview without looking at my phone.
I got to send some emails.
Yeah. We'll be back. You'll never know quite when we'll.